July 11th, 2019, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Go set in.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to get started, everyone, at 7 p.m., and I'd like to welcome you on behalf of the Borough Town Board to a regular meeting of the town. With that, we will begin with a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And do we have any veterans in the audience? Would you like to lead us in Pledge of Allegiance? Okay, that's going to be the veteran in the back.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. First item on the agenda this evening is the approval of minutes. We have the minutes from the audit meeting of May 28th and also the regular town board meeting that followed that evening, also on May 28th. Any corrections or comments on them? If not, would somebody like to move their approval? Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is to set future meetings workshop. I'd like to move that a couple items down on the agenda because we'll be having some discussions on potential for a moratorium on ground-mounted solar arrays and also on multifamily dwellings, which will require a public hearing. And so if we decide to move forward, we will take into consideration all the meetings and possible workshops that we need to schedule at that time. So with that, we'll move to item three on the agenda, which will be a zoning ordinance update from the town's zoning administrator, Mr. Jim Martin.
Thank you, Pat. Got a brief handout here. Figured it might be just some talking points for what I'll be going over. This will just follow along with what I was kind of addressed with you.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Can we do you have 3 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, I can do it too.
I think the long-awaited update to the zoning code is about to begin. This has been talked about in this community. If you want to consider all discussions, probably back to 2009, and most recently it's been a keen interest on many people in the town, particularly our zoning board members, planning board members, and certainly people on this board. But as you know, we had to get the comprehensive plan done. We did that. I say we, the zoning board and planning board, were actively engaged in that. And this board recently adopted it just in April. So with that done now as a foundation, we're properly set up now to undertake the update to the zoning code. And just some highlights in that regard, I'll be personally overseeing it. I'll be personally authoring the changes. And I will dialogue with you as much as you would like, whether it be directly one-on-one or you want me to come and give regular updates and status to the board, I'll be happy to do that. Workshops or whatever you feel is most convenient for you. In terms of the timeline, I expect this will be, you know, a full 12 to 15 months, to be honest with you. You know, depending on how much we get into it, I want to hit on some points here. I think that's a very reasonable time frame because this is something, quite frankly, in a town like Morrell, this is a very important aspect of our code. It interfaces a lot with our residency. I don't want to rush it. I think it needs to be done, you know, pragmatically and thoughtfully. And in that regard, we're going to use the same methodology and approach that we did on the comprehensive plan. We'll incorporate the services of our members of the planning board and zoning board to provide direct oversight in that. As I draft sections, I will be, you know, providing those drafts to those members, and they'll be a regular part of their agendas now for the coming months. they'll be updated and have a chance to directly participate in the formulation of the code. They're especially effective. They work in it every month, and they're also residents of the community, and they're well aware of the needs out there among the public. And then certainly I'll be providing drafts to the members of this board and keep you abreast. And if anybody would like to, like I said, at any time, become engaged or have a question, I'll be happy to address that. Any question you have, I'll be happy to answer. And in terms of the cost, we do have an existing contract dating back to 2015 for the update. You know, that's in place. That was a two-part contract, if you recall. The first part was the update to the comp plan, and that's done. Now the next part is the zoning code, and I think that was about $15,000 to $17,000 in that contract, somewhere in that range. And I think we also have $18,000, approximately $15,000 to $18,000 Ag and Markets grant. So that'll be used in primarily the Ag sections of the code and pulling in the recommendations out of the Farm Land Protection Plan that I'll reference here later on. So the revision will involve a complete rewrite of the chapter. It's very dated. It's going back to 1989. And anybody who's worked within it or had worked with it knows that it can be cumbersome in some places, vague, and just plain out of date. So that will all be fixed. Much of the revision, when you approach revision of a code, it really can involve two very important parts. One is look at the districting. You know, the way the resident districts are laid out, the commercial, the industrial, and so on. And also the uses in those districts. Now, I think in a case like Moreau, we have a land use pattern here that's basically set. I don't foresee a lot of changes in the districts themselves. I think they seem to be functioning pretty well. The R1 through 5 and our commercial districts. You know, there has been some discussion of maybe adding a district here and there that would be responsive to some of the needs and areas of the town, and that's something we can certainly look at. But I don't see a lot of changes there, quite frankly. But in that regard, where we could potentially run into some change is in drawing the zoning district boundaries, because in some cases in the town, given the age of the code, the map itself actually split zones some individual parcels throughout the community. And that is very awkward to administer, and it's very complicated for those property owners to understand what's going on in their property and why. So my preference would be to have our district boundaries tracked with parcel boundaries. It's very easy to do in this day and age with electronic mapping and digital mapping. We can certainly look at that. It doesn't have to be done. It's a recommendation. I think it's something that should be looked at and considered. And it would require some hard choices for those individual parcels that are split zoned as to which way you push the boundary, whether you include the parcel all in one district or another. So those are things we can look at. We can look at the advantages and disadvantages as we go through those types of decisions. In terms of where an area where there is a lot of work needed, it's in the detail of the districts, the way the uses are accounted for and referenced and described. Like the classic one that's always mentioned in the C1 district or commercial district is the uses of service highway traffic. What the heck does that mean? And it's really caused a lot of problems. So it would certainly be a preference to detail the types of uses that are in our commercial areas and make sure they're listed, and more importantly, well and concisely defined. The definitions need a lot of help to bring things up to speed. Every use that's listed should be defined in a well-written code. We'll certainly make sure that happens. That's an area that needs a lot of help with the definition and the word usage and terminology. It really needs to be brought up to speed. Now, In terms of overall organization of the code, and I have one additional handout for you to follow. This is a listing of, or a table of contents, if you will, of all the chapters of the town's entire town code. And I'll take you through this because I think you'll see why this is a relevant consideration as we embark on this endeavor. There are some 47 chapters of the town code that are listed and, to one degree or another, active. I looked through some of them today, and I don't know how some of them are so active. But in looking over the chapters, you'll see I've highlighted some 18 chapters and numbered them consecutively. And these are things that basically involve some form of land use. Burning outdoors, keeping of chickens, adult entertainment, fences, junkyards, mobile homes, noise, outdoor hydronic heaters, and that type of thing. You'll see they're all highlighted there. That's over 30% of the chapters in the code, and I would argue that these need to be all pulled together in a consolidated regulatory code or chapter, if you will. There's a lot of communities out there across the state that are taking out what they call a unified development code. And it is a compilation of topics that are related to one another that are rationally and logically grouped together because it's easier for the public to follow, the residents to follow, it's easier for administrators to work within, and it just presents an organized regulatory program for the community. And I would suggest that while we're going through this effort, we consider doing this. Some things are absolutely, in my opinion, fundamental. Like the idea that fences and signs live outside of your zoning code in a separate chapter is incredibly awkward, cumbersome, burdensome for you, for the residents, and for the administrators and the code enforcement officers. It's just awful. Like, for example, right now, if someone does not meet our fence code, there is no appellate option. There's no appeal option. You just dead end. You can't. You either comply or you don't build your fence. And that's just not good. So there's things like that certainly should be addressed. Signage should be within the code. And so basically what I'm suggesting is all these types of things, whether it be subdivision, fences, standard conventional zoning, should be in one unified development code, logically ordered and presented so it's easily understood for the public or as easy as it can be. And we have a code that makes sense and it's right up to date. And it's like one-stop shopping. People know where to go if they want to use their property or develop their land in some way, or they want to check an enforcement issue. They know how to work within the code in an easier fashion. Because right now it's really disjointed and it's all over the place, and just physically it's hard to move around with it. So that is something I would really like to explore. And if that's something you agree with, we'll certainly take it in that direction. If it's something you'd like to take a more conventional approach, we can do that too. But I really think that's something that should be considered, as we undertake this effort, because it's the first time we've done it since 1989, and it's well needed, and it may not happen again for another, 40 years, so we might as well do it right and correctly. And I think in a community like Moreau, where we do have a lot of activity, we have a lot of active, residents who are doing things with their property, and that's a good thing. And we want to try and encourage that, and we want to have a regulatory program that facilitates that and then is easy for people to use and understand. The last thing, and I haven't got it listed here, is the last thing then we need to follow up with that is oftentimes overlooked. People, they undertake the update to the code and they figure, okay, that's it, we're done. Another important aspect of this is the applications. The applications that facilitate this process need to be in sync with them. They need to be up to date. And again, in this day and age, we should be taking advantage of the platforms and the, like, you know, the technology that exists. And, you know, we should have electronic filing, electronic preparation of the forms. You know, people can fill them out on their screen, on their laptop, or their tablet at home if they'd like. Or they can still fill in the spaces with a you know, pen and paper. That's fine, too. But that option should be at least afforded. Right now, we're strictly paper. And again, it's burdensome, and in some ways it's costly and time-consuming. So that's another thing we can look at towards the end, is updating our applications and getting them all uniform and in sync with the code, and again, more easy to work within. So consider this the kickoff, if you will. We're started tonight. Like I said, I'm happy to dialogue on this anytime. You know, I'm available for you to talk to, either on the phone, or I'll come see you, or you come see me. I'm here 2 days a week. So, you know, whatever is most convenient, but I welcome, you know, working with you on this and your input. And I think it's an exciting time. Geeks like me kind of like this stuff, so. What are you going to say? We will go from a 1989 code to being the envy of the region. So, that's what we're looking for.
Great. Thank you very much for that overview and update, Jim. And thank you for, you know, all the time and effort. You've been involved in this process for a very long time, you and your firm. We appreciate all the guidance. You know, as you indicated, 30 years is a long time to go with, you know, no subsequent update to your code. And, you know, I think it's long overdue, and quite frankly, the character of our community has outgrown the parameters of our code. And so this will start the ball rolling, as you indicated. I know there will be input from the board as we go through the process and the respective zoning and planning boards. So it is an exciting time. This will position the town for decades to come on where we want to go and what we want our community to look like. So it's not only exciting, it's a very important time. So,
and the other thing I should say, Todd, is that at certain junctures, I think it's important for us to pause and have a public workshop, you know, an opportunity for the public to understand what's going on. And at the early part of this, you know, process, have that public meeting, get their input. I mean, I have some of the notes from meetings that were held in the past, but it's a constantly changing environment out there, and so I think that would be probably prudent, you know, after as we get into the fall, people's schedules settle back down after the summer break, and maybe we can schedule that. It would be early in the process, and then maybe one or two others to follow after that.
Yeah, there's no question to have an exceptional product. That's going to be long-lasting. You have to have the public involved, and that's our goal.
Right. And certainly this is subject to a secret review, you know, environmental assessment, and a formal public hearing at the end, but obviously one at the end is insufficient, and we'll look for more public involvement. And each and every time that the planning board and zoning board, you know, do their work in this regard, those are obviously public meetings, and the public is certainly welcome to attend those as well.
Okay. All right. So, board members have any questions for Jim?
When the planning and the zoning board discuss this, will it be separate meetings or part of their regular meetings?
Well, in deference to their time and their convenience, it's part of their regular meeting. And what we did with the comp plan is we put it on their agenda, and it was part of their regular meeting. And then at the end, it did take some special effort. We had a special joint meeting. The zoning board and planning board came together in a joint meeting, had also a joint public hearing as we got towards the end of the comp plan. And I envision that the same sort of effort on this, when we get to the end of this, there would be that as a committee that's been, you know, involved in the oversight of this, it's appropriate for them to have a public hearing. That's why we had it. In addition to the one that's required by you as the legislative board, that's why we had it at that level as well, and just afforded that one more time. I think it was just four with an issue. So, as an example. So, that's something we certainly want to follow up with again. And the other thing I should say, that, well, the public is here, the paper and all that, If anybody has any written comment, they're always accepted at any time from regarding any topic on this. It has just as much weight as if you're standing here at this meeting and presenting it to the board, that will get full consideration, and in the interest of just making it that much easier to communicate with us. And certainly anybody's welcome to come in and see me anytime they want. You know, you see me, my door's open. You know, people come and go as they need to. So if anybody has any input on this, they're more than welcome to come see me during the office hours or email me, call me, whatever is most convenient.
If they have comments and they want to send them along the process, would they send them to the supervisor or to the building department? Which way would you?
It'll all be the same place.
Yeah. I don't mind being the point person on that. Everything I get will certainly be shared among all of you. It'll be shared among all the planning board and zoning board members. Email makes it easy. So everybody's apprised of comments and questions as they come in. And they'll also be apprised of how they're answered and dealt with. So, you know, that'll be easy. I don't mind being the point person on that. Just in the interest that Todd's got a lot on his plate with everything else that he does. I'm happy to be the point person on it.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Jim.
Yes, sir.
And as you can see on the agenda, we have to dovetail with our zoning ordinance update. We will be having discussion and considering a moratorium on ground-mounted solar arrays and multifamily.
And I'm happy to give you some background on that as well.
So if you want us.
Yeah, I'm going to stick around. Okay. If you need any further input on that, I'm happy to help.
Great. Thank you. So at this time, I'd like to address or discuss item 4 on this evening's agenda, which is a proposed moratorium on ground-mounted solar arrays. And I've had informal conversations with board members. They thought it was a good idea to bring it to a full board for discussion this evening and possible action. In my conversations, I made them aware that I have been approached as supervisor by two separate large-scale companies that are interested in erecting in our town significantly sized solar arrays. By that, I mean we're talking about covering 40 acres or more. And where they're looking, at least one company where they're looking to do that is in our ag district. As the public is well aware, we're very protective of our ag district, but we also want to be cognizant of the landowners and their ability to make a return on their investments. Presently, our code does not allow for these solar arrays there. And so I think it's something with where we are with technology today that we need to have some time to look at and see how best we want to regulate these structures, if we want to regulate them differently than we do now. And the best way to do that is to establish in the interim a moratorium so we have that time. Some of the things I'd like us to consider as we move through the process is how we will regulate the structures. If we move in that direction, will it be through special use permitting, which has a site plan review process? Do we want to consider having decommissioning clauses in our code, which would require money to be set aside? So if the technology changes or the company is no longer making enough revenue, these structures don't sit there in perpetuity. We want to have a mechanism that allows them to be removed at the cost of the company that installed them. So that would be some of the things that we're looking at. I know other communities in Saratoga County already regulate these structures, really tightly regulate them, break down to the fact that they require fencing and lighting around the structures. They also, with their fencing, require a fence to be 6 inches above the ground, so you can have wildlife moving in and out, but it's not trapped in there, certain size wildlife. They also require wildflower and pollinator overseeding to benefit the environment. So there's many different things that we can be looking at if we're going to move forward with a local law on this, and a moratorium will give us the time to do that and to do it properly. So with that, I want to open it up to the board for any questions or comments, and then we'll talk about the language of the proposed local law.
My comment is thank you for bringing this to the board and the police department.
We've spoken, as you mentioned, I'd be repeating much of what you said. I think it's prudent for us to make sure that we put the right law in place, and we need time to do that, and there's a lot of activity right now, so we just got to get in front of it on behalf of taxpayers and do the right thing. So I think it's a great, perfectly timed conversation.
I concur.
I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, one of our neighboring towns said not with large tract solar arrays, but I think they're having some issues with some of their ground-mounted solar panels in some neighborhoods, so I think it's a good start to get this ball rolling for sure.
And the localities have the ability to regulate these solely at the local level, up to a given megawattage, which is, I think the threshold is 25 megawatts, and then the public service law, Article 10, kicks in, and the state is involved with the approval process. And in that state statute, there is provisions that allow for local input, but you know, I know it's an even more drawn-out process. So we'll be cognizant of that threshold when we're developing parameters for our local laws. So with that, I'd just like to read briefly the local laws. The local law number 1 of 2019, adopting Chapter 75 of the Town and Rural Code, a temporary moratorium on permits for the installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the Town and Rural. It would be Section 75.1, which is a purpose and intent. It's the purpose and intent of the Town Board of the Town of Rowe to adopt a temporary moratorium on further growth and development of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems in the town, while the town considers potentially and adopts changes to the zoning code to address new circumstances not addressed by its current laws. The purpose of this local law is to provide time for the town officials to study its comprehensive land use plan and address issues, if any, presented by the growth and development of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale energy systems within the town, and the impact of such growth on the agricultural nature of the community, its financial impact on the town, and regulation, control, and enforcement of such uses. Section 75-2 goes through the definitions of a ground-mounted solar energy system, large-scale solar energy system, solar panel, moratorium. We do have provisions in the draft local law that allow for a variance for anyone to appeal to the town board for a variance from this local law upon submission of an application for the variance after a public hearing. The town board may at its discretion authorize the building inspector to issue a permit, so you know it's not completely cut and dry. There is discretion on this board and issues or situations of hardship to allow that. And then this termination, under the termination section, it will end 180 days. So the effective date is, as they all are with local laws, upon filing with the Department of State. So with that, I'm going to ask, actually, is there any other comment out before I have the clerk read the public hearing notice?
No.
Okay. So that brings me to what I tabled earlier. We do not have the date and time of the public hearing. My suggestion would be for, although I know we have a board member that would be unable to attend at the next board meeting, my suggestion would be we had it probably at, we've got the audit at 6:30, possibly have it at 6:50 for the public hearing on it, unless you would like to have the board reschedule it for a time when you can make it.
It's entirely up to you. It needs to be done. If you can do it without me, feel free.
So I'll have to do it.
Is it 6:15?
Oh yeah, it's 6:30. It should be under 6 o'clock. On the 20th.
Okay.
Will that work? So Leanne, the the resolution should include June 25th at 6 p.m. And if you would read the notice of public hearing.
Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Moreau on June 25th at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of Local Law No. 1 of 2019. If adopted, Local Law No. 1 of 2019 would create Chapter 75 of the Moreau Town Code, temporary moratorium on permits for an installation of ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems within the town of Moreau. The moratorium prohibits the permitting of new ground-mounted solar energy systems and large-scale solar energy systems, including the consideration of applications as of the date of this notice. Written comments on Local Law No. 1 of 2019 can be submitted to the town clerk up and through the time of the public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law No. 1 of 2019 can be obtained at the Moreau Town Municipal Complex and on the town's website.
Thank you, Leanne. Any comments regarding the public hearing notice? I'll entertain a motion to adopt the public hearing date and time.
Motion to approve.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Jim, was there anything you wanted to add on that that I may have left out? I know that you had some additional information.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I also have been approached by several interested parties for locating a substantially sized solar array on one of our ag lands, you know, one of our ag parcels. And Todd is correct, it is not allowed anywhere. The only way it's allowed in the town by interpretation of the term is power plant in our industrial zone. So the planned location, these like to locate in close proximity to a existing transmission line, power line. They have to be within a certain distance of it, as I understand. And so that limits where these can be positioned. And the way it is right now, much of that land along the power line is in our ag district. And so that's why the providers have been looking at these parcels. And so in that case, that would be a full-blown use variance with our Zoning Board of Appeals. I've explained that one inquiry has been now, I've had three or four discussions with, and I've gone through the use variance criteria, you know, in detail. And if any of you have seen that, it's meant to be purposely difficult. So it's not an easy application to make, and it requires a lot of effort, especially with something as complex as this. So I think this is a very appropriate step to take, you know, in lieu of our current, you know, regulatory, you know, tools we have available. And what's out there, in especially New York State, a lot has come, you know, into existence in the last couple of years. Like there's a model law now that the state has produced. I understand it was actually in close association with the town of Clifton Park. So that would be something to look at. And there's basically, you know, three levels that you want to look at these. One is roof-mounted residential, one is ground-mounted residential, and then the second is large-scale large-scale commercial in a ground-mounted situation. And, you know, there's some ways that these things can be accomplished that do take away some of the impact, but I think this is really deserving of, you know, full community input. You know, I'm hearing from the wider community, especially, you know, the farm community, if it is going to, you know, target our agricultural areas by virtue of being in such close proximity to that transmission line, you know, these are the discussions that need to be had. And this will give opportunity to do that. And this is another example of what I'm talking about, of the overall zoning code. I mean, this is something that's not in our code for anywhere, just by virtue of this technology. We'll be writing this section into the zoning code in dealing with this solar use application, both at the residential and commercial level. We'll have time to do that now without being under the gun, you know, or you know, taking up a lot of time with our zoning board for a use variance application. So I think it's a wise move.
Great. Thank you. The also dovetailing with our update to our town code, one of the things I've heard as supervisor and I know board members have heard as well is comments regarding the number of multifamily dwellings that we have either constructed or under construction in the town of Monroe. And upon doing some research, and I know Jim was helpful with this, as of 2015, there were 1,147 two-family, multifamily dwelling units in the town of Monroe, and over 300 more multifamily dwellings in planning or under construction. And according to that statistic, multifamily housing units were comprised over one-third of all housing units in the town. So, in my opinion, that's a significant number, and I think we need to take a look at that part of our code. And again, repeating myself from what I mentioned on the previous moratorium, the way that we can do that best and most thoroughly is by instituting a moratorium on these multifamily dwellings. And so we also have that for discussion this evening. You know, I'm hopeful that the board will be supportive of that to give us time to take a look at our multifamily housing stocks and where we want to go from here as we move forward with an update to our code. So with that, well, actually, I'll open up for discussion for the board members who have comments on it. If not, I'll go into the actual law.
I just would say that I think it's a good time to take a look at this as well. I too heard a lot of a lot of questions about what are we going to do to slow these multi-family housing units down, and quite frankly, it's more of a community effort. And I think it's a good time to undertake this.
I've been hearing since it ran for a board originally 12 years ago, people kept saying, "Why are we getting all these apartments? Why we don't want these apartments in our community? It makes it feel different." I think it's long overdue, and I
apologize for it. Well, I appreciate the support on that. With that, I'm sorry, did you want
to? No, I'm good.
Anyone else? Okay, so we will, so this would be proposed local law number 2 of 2019, adopting Chapter 76 of the Town of Monroe Code. A temporary moratorium on building permits for site plan review or other review of multifamily, multiple family and two family dwelling residential projects within the town of Monroe. Section 76-1 is the purpose and intent. It's the purpose and intent of the town board of the town of Monroe to adopt a temporary moratorium on further growth and development of multifamily residential dwellings within the town of Monroe while the town considers and potentially adopts changes in its zoning to address new circumstances not addressed by current laws. And according to the 2019 Comprehensive Land Use Plan, as of 2015, there are 1,147 two-family multifamily dwelling units in the town and over 300 more multifamily dwellings in planning or under construction. At this level, multifamily housing units will comprise over a third of all housing units in the town. The Comprehensive Land Use Plan identifies a housing goal of supporting the development of affordable single-family dwellings and the input from town residents to the Comprehensive Land Use Plan on this issue dictates that future housing initiatives and zoning regulations should focus on less density, the provisions of affordable single-family housing, and senior living facilities. Moreover, the Comprehensive Land Use Plan identifies a revision to the zoning chapter of the town code that seeks to constrain the development of multifamily housing to areas with available municipal infrastructure, i.e. roads, water, and sewer, capacity to adequately mitigate any adverse impact to existing single-family neighborhoods. Purpose of this local law is to provide time for the town officials to study its comprehensive land use plan and address issues, if any, presented by the growth and development of multifamily dwellings within the town and the impact of such growth on the community, its financial impact on the town, and the regulation, control, and enforcement of such uses. And Section 76-2 provides for definitions of multifamily dwelling, multifamily dwellings, two-family dwelling, and additional definitions from Section 149-5 of the Code of the Town of Monroe are incorporated herein by reference. And specifically, the moratoriums for a period of 180 days. And the moratorium shall not apply to any certificates of occupancy for any and all construction pursuant to building permits issued prior to the date of the adoption of the notice of public hearing or the issuance of any building permit for the renovation or repair of any lawfully existing structure otherwise covered by this law. In addition, this moratorium shall not apply to any projects that have already obtained municipal approvals or are before the Planning or Zoning Board of Appeals or the Building Department requesting approval from the Town of Monroe as of the date of the notice of the public hearing, notwithstanding that a certificate of occupancy and or building permit has not been issued. And again, there's provisions that allow for the Town Board to issue a variance on that. And again, that's for 180 days. So with that, we'll need to establish a date and time for the public hearing. The Board would like to move forward. My suggestion would be 6:15 on June 25th. If everybody is okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay with that? Somebody like to make that. Actually, I'm going to have clerk read the notice of public hearing.
Town of Monroe notice of public hearing to consider adoption of local law. Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Monroe on June 25th at 6:15 p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of local law number 2 of 2019. If adopted, local law number 2 of 2019 would create Chapter 76 of the Monroe Town Code, temporary moratorium on building permits or site plan review or other review of multifamily, multiple family, and two-family dwelling residential projects within the town of Monroe. The moratorium prohibits the consideration of applications for building permits, site plan approvals, special use permits or subdivision approval, or any other municipal approval for multifamily dwelling projects, multiple family dwelling projects, or two family dwelling projects within the town of Monroe. This moratorium shall not apply to any certificates of occupancy for any and all construction pursuant to building permits issued prior to the date of the adoption of the notice of public hearing or the issuance of any building permit for the renovation or repair of any lawfully existing structure otherwise covered by this local law. In addition, this moratorium shall not apply to any projects that have already obtained municipal approvals or before the Planning or Zoning Board of Appeals or the Building Department requesting approval from the Town of Monroe as of the date of the notice of public hearing, notwithstanding that a certificate of occupancy and or building permit has not been issued. Written comments on Local Law Number 2 of 2019 can be submitted to the Town Clerk up through the time of the public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law Number 2 of 2019 can be obtained at the Monroe Town Municipal Complex and on the town's website.
Thank you, Leanne. And Jim, would you like to offer any additional insight or comment on that moratorium?
Yeah, I think the impetus behind this particular comment has been from the public meetings that have recently been held on a couple projects that have been before the Planning Board. We've seen a number of residents express concerns about the density of the apartments that have been approved that are under consideration. There's not much we can do about those, but we can certainly halt from this point forward and give a pause to this and give time to adequately reconsider, you know, where these uses are appropriate in light of the current and future context. And a matter of fact, in the comprehensive plan, this was the most, if not the most, topic of discussion in the final comments that we did get. If you go back to the hearing minutes on that, There were a number of comments centered around the density of multifamily dwellings and what's going to be done about it. And the excerpts that you see here from the comp plan were done in response to that and were one of the last revisions made, as a matter of fact. So the comp plan tried to reflect the current sentiment out there in the community. I think it accurately does that. And as such, it's a good grounding for this type of moratorium, and then the subsequent changes we'll make in the zoning to follow. So again, I think this is a prudent step. It's one I recommend that should be taken, and it will give an opportunity and time for this to be discussed in a more I think deliberate way, without being under the gun of an approval or hundreds of more units coming online. Housing in any community, in order to be successful, needs to be done in balance. And I think certainly the town of Moreau, we have our share of multifamily affordable housing, which is always a good need to fill. I think we have that, and that is to our advantage. But we've got to make sure that things are kept in balance at the same time. And I think this will give an opportunity for the community to pause and the residents to become engaged as to what that proper balance is for us going forward. So I recommend this. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And before we get off of the topic, Council, are we in line with all the appropriate steps that we need to take?
Yes. Great.
Thank you. I do want to take a moment and pause to thank my colleagues for their input on both of those issues. They're very important issues. Certainly multifamily is a very important issue that we have heard about for some time, and I appreciate your input and support getting us to this stage this evening, so thank you for that. As I indicated up front in the agenda, we would be moving backward to schedule some meetings. I'm interested in hearing from the board regarding the possibility of scheduling, if there's an interest to schedule interviews for code enforcement and rec leader. I know we've gotten a few more applications. And the other issue to keep in mind is Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership has reached out to see if the board has a date and time when they would be interested in discussing the next step in our economic development plan for our town. So we can take any or all of those topics for meetings at the board or so.
Well, we should get the interview scheduled for certain. And I'm pretty flexible. You don't know. So do you have dates that you would prefer?
I will leave. I'm pretty open. I can adjust my schedule for the board.
The 18th, Tuesday?
Yeah.
I can do
the 20th.
I can do the 18th. And was it 19th?
I can do 18th. I can do 18th.
18, 19, 20, or okay.
I can do anything as early as 5.
All right. So why don't we, if the board is okay with 5 p.m. on the 18th. I will ask that board members give me a copy of names you want to interview. We will plan to have an hour on code enforcement. I think we have 2 applicants at this point. And then possibly 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, was that for rec leader or for?
I think for all of them, we just start stacking up the number of applicants to determine our time.
Well, why don't we do that? We'll start, and I'll get you the times and who's interested, and whoever the board wants to have come in, and we'll go from there. All right?
And the interviews are just original interviews?
They can either or. We do have a couple. And regarding the economic development meeting, I think we can hold off to our next meeting.
Can we do a proposed agenda for me?
I do, but I think we do.
Yeah, I'm going to propose the agenda. Again, those same dates will come in.
Does anybody have any other meetings or workshops they would like to do?
Do we need anything else on membership for meetings?
Well, let me get to that.
Okay.
And, well, we may.
Okay.
Item 6 on the agenda is...
Supervisor, did the, we have read the notice of the public meeting?
The public hearing?
Did she read the notice of the public meeting on the moratorium of the local government?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving right along there.
Yeah, you are.
Thanks for double checking. Item 6 on this evening's agenda is the fire suppression alarm system. I know the silence is deafening after many years, several years, I should say. Interestingly, when the work was all completed and we reset things, we had some additional issues. And those additional issues related to programming of the alarm system. And those issues were the result of the battery that the original battery that was installed in 2013 had gone dead. And without having that battery, the program was not retained in memory. So we tested the system. Bottom line is it needed to be reprogrammed. So I felt it was an emergency because we were ready to go and we didn't have a system that could track and properly activate the system after we spent all the time and effort to get it fixed. So I reached out on recommendation of the individual who had repaired the fire suppression system, and we had an individual come in from Fire Security Sound, I believe. Yeah, Fire Security Sound System. When my office had spoken on the phone that day with them, indicated a labor rate of prevailing wage at $140 per hour. But if I was willing to sign an agreement for them to come up, they would give us their preferred rate of $120 per hour. So anyway, the bottom line is they came up, did the work. The control panel for the pre-action system had no power to it. So when the fire alarm switch on the dry system was tested and reported to the panel as supervisory as opposed to alarm, took care of that. Now, and the control panel is currently showing a trouble signal NAC-1 fault, which indicates there's a problem in the alarm circuit somewhere. So the bottom line is he came up, he reprogrammed the system, he came again to witness test of the system this week, along with Randy, who did the repairs up in the attic, and it is all working. So we have one issue completely addressed, and we're moving on from there. So what I need this evening is authority from the board, because we'll be seeing a voucher on this down the road, to engage the services of Fire Security and Sound Systems at a rate of, why don't we say not to exceed $140 per hour. To provide programming for the system. And I'm going to pay that voucher when it comes in.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And there's one other item under the fire suppression alarm system. Oh, and I have a signed warranty, a 2-year warranty on the work that was done.
He wasn't going to get this one.
No, he wasn't. We had a chat.
You had a conversation.
We had
it. Explain it.
Explain it. Somewhere here, I just want to make sure I get the price. I think the board members have a copy. He is recommending that we do annual maintenance on that. So I asked him for a proposal. So this is from Professional Fire Protection Services who did the repair. And they will do a semi-annual fire sprinkler inspection, which will include fire sprinklers from the floor level, pipe and fittings from the floor level, system control valves, external pressure gauges, hydraulic data, nameplates, spare sprinkler head cabinet. They'll do a main drain, a water flow alarm, a control valve electric supervision, which is a tamper switch, and a backflow device for flow test. And it's recommended that this be done semi-annually. All the businesses or buildings that he's involved with all have this service. And his price with prevailing wage would be $1,575. And I would strongly recommend that we have that maintained and serviced as necessary so that we don't ever find ourselves.
And to be clear, that's an annual fee, but it's done twice.
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I need a motion to allow that.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Can I ask, is that a motion to approve the contract
so
or for you to sign
hire, so this is to hire the Professional Fire Protection Incorporated out of 185 East Street, Johnstown, for a semi-annual fire sprinkler inspection.
On a one-year contract.
On a one-year contract in the amount of not to exceed $1,575.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzmiers?
Yes. Item 7 on the agenda is the Universal Playground. The town board has interviewed three manufacturers that are interested in supplying the equipment for our Universal Playground, and so the board needs to determine, so we can continue to move the process forward, which company they would like to go with. So the companies that we interviewed were Game Time, Compen Playgrounds, and Park Effects. Does anybody have a recommendation or preference?
My recommendation or preference was Park Effects. Is the last of the three that we talked to for reference?
I only was here for the last interview, so I will be the same.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. They were all very good companies. All of them had great quality products. They varied a little bit in cost among them. One had more experienced municipalities. Others had greater design options. So I have to agree with Councilmember Bradford.
I also think Parkitex was provided a product that I think would work well with the direction we want to go. And with some of the parks that they have in the area that they talked about, I think the competent provides a great park, Parkitex.
That works for me.
John has been so difficult all the time.
I'm wondering actually who did the exit 17 and 18, between 17 and 18,
the rest area?
Yeah, the rest area.
It was not Park and Tex. I asked all of our groups that came through.
That was a state contract.
Yeah, right. And they also did look up the family contract.
No doubt.
Yeah. So then I'll entertain a motion to accept, for actually utilizing them as the supplier so that design to move forward.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Can I just ask, it's Parker and spell the last
name? I'll spell it for you. It is P-A-R-K-I-T-E-C-T-S. Lior Kushner was the, spelled differently than my last name, was the representative who spoke on their behalf.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Abstaining.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And this is very exciting because I had the good fortune to be invited down by BOCES earlier in the week as they're wrapping up the work that they were doing for a playground. The Postar was there, so we're very, very happy that they're covering it. I expect there will probably be some more information that will be out there publicly based on Postar's visit there. But I have to commend BOCES for doing a phenomenal job, very accommodating. The students that participate in that program are second to none. I mean, they're very excited to be a part of that project. They did a great job, and the benefit to them is they were also utilizing their skills or developing their skills, which will prepare them as they go out into the working world shortly. So it's all good news. It's very exciting. And on that note, I, as well as board members and the other town employee, is invited to a party down at the pavilion where they did the work tomorrow. There'll be coffee and donuts and hot dogs beginning 8 o'clock around 10:45, and then again from 12 to 1:45. So I would encourage you to stop down, meet the students, take a look if you haven't already at all the work they did down there. And the good news is they want to come back and help us work on our trail down by the river next fall. So
we're trying to figure out when we're going around.
Awesome. So if you can make that, I would strongly encourage you to do so. Which leads me to head it further down the agenda, but we might as well address it now. They had requested to utilize the pavilion, and because they did all that work for us for free, I thought it was inappropriate that we'd be charging them for use of the pavilion. So I'm looking for a motion from the town board that would waive the fee for them to use the pavilion for tomorrow's picnic, which some of the board members may attend.
To waive the fee for the BOCES group to host there, like tomorrow.
Second.
Roll.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Item 8 on the agenda, just briefly, as you know, the Queensbury Water contract, the 20-year contract, which we're there, 20 years has come and gone, and I will need a letter, actually authority from the town board to pen a letter that essentially says the town board is interested in entering into discussions to work out a new contract. It could be via an intermunicipal agreement between the town and the town of Queensbury. I'm just looking for authority to sign that letter to engage those discussions.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Item 9 on the agenda is the Monroe Community Center Bingo License. As the board is well aware, these licenses, so when we sign off on them and New York State Gaming Commission issues them, they're only good for 6 months. So once again, it's before us because it is expiring. And I'm looking for authority to sign the application on behalf of the board so that they may continue with their charitable activities down there.
Motion authorized. Supervisor signing.
Second.
And to be clear, the chief of police in South Glens Falls had reviewed the names and had no record within the agency on any of the individuals that are listed. So I know that's been an issue with that. Any discussion on that? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Item 10, Highway Department request. First request I have is to purchase a 2019 Ford F-350 crew cab 4x4 with plow. This is something that we budgeted for in 2019. We budgeted $51,842. Paul has received three quotes. First one is from Morris Ford, amount of $44,936. Second quote is National Auto Fleet Group, an amount of $47,164. And Van Bortel Ford out of East Rochester, an amount of $44,624. Paul is recommending that we go with Van Bortel Ford. Money would come to account DB 5130.2, which has a current balance as of June 7th of $91,442.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Second request from Highway Superintendent is for a screening plant for a period of 2 weeks. Would you like to rent the equipment to screen a stockpile of stone? We reached out for three quotes, received two back. First one is Milton Cat at $8,700. Second one is Monroe Tractor, $8,332. And we did not receive a response from Contractor Sales in Albany. He is recommending that we rent from Monroe Tractor. There are funds available in account DB 5110.493, which has a current balance of $10,235.29 as of June 1st.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And the last item I have under highway. Paul's requesting approval from the town board for a fire alert system for the old highway garage. If the board recalls, I think it was last year during the audit, insurance audit, it was pointed out that we didn't have a system. It was strongly recommended for insurance purposes. Actually, it was 2 years ago, right?
2 years.
Yeah, so we budgeted monies for it based on a quote that we had received at budget time. And I believe it did not include prevailing wage. So we have a new quote, which exceeds the amount that was budgeted for. But I know that my office reached out to Paul, and upon further review, he's recommending that we draw the additional funds from building repairs, or all of it from building repairs?
No, additional from building repairs.
Okay, so we had budgeted $4,600. The total cost now with prevailing wage is $7,195 from New York Fire Security. We would be getting four pull stations, one outdoor strobe horn, 13 heat, what are those, heat sensors?
Heat sensors.
Three strobe horns, three CO detectors, one smoke detector, one strobe, 10 polling loop modules, one polling loop extender, and miscellaneous wire and materials, which gets you to the $71.95. So Paul is suggesting that we utilize the $4,600 in account 5132.2. To pay for part of it. Do you want to use more than that from that account?
Excuse me?
You had in that account, if we had also budgeted $650 for a laptop. Are you planning on using that money or not?
No, because it doesn't meet the standards that
All right, so that total account has $5,250 in it, and we'll use all that for part of the cost of this upgrade. All right, so then the balance would come from building repairs account 5132.472, which has a current balance of $94,286.87. So you want to add to that?
Well, the reason I want to just discuss this, the reason I brought it up was 2 weeks ago I got a call from the insurance company, and they thought we had already done this. So they were following double check to make sure everything was working correct.
And you said you can report progress.
I said we're working on it, and the guy we both got it ready.
So you're okay doing it that way?
Yes.
Somebody like that?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion?
No further discussion, just for a quick question. The quote from last year was for the same thing, just didn't have prevailing wage.
Okay.
Gotcha. What a difference.
So they won't make proof of salary.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Item 11 on the agenda is Recreation Department requests. We already took care of the BOCES. We have a request from Jack Kells of the Avalanche Baseball Club, who is going to be doing, well, their club's going to be doing work on the concession stand. In order to do so, they need to move the equipment out of that building so they can review how extensive the work is that needs to occur. And so he's requesting to place a shed in the park right next to the batting cage at the Legion Field. This would only be temporary. And so I said I'd bring that before.
I'm okay with it. I'm going to just say that Jack Hills is with Hurricane Baseball, not Avalanche. But
yes, that was
my error. I can only report the news.
Yeah. Just want to be clear with that.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate the question. Stan.
But as far as that, I think we should approve that.
I'm okay with it as well. Ultimately, he needs a spot to put his equipment anyway. I mean, he said it's temporary, but that would indicate that they might need something for a longer period of time, or is he really trying to clean that concession stand, right? Maybe usable?
That's part of it.
What's that?
Yeah, that's part of it.
I'm okay with it if he approaches in the future, he just needs more of a permanent spot, but we can figure out how to do that at a later date. So.
That would be the
yeah.
Any other discussion? Roll call. I'm sorry, did you make a motion?
There was no motion.
Did we make a motion on that?
Yes.
So let's make a motion to approve his temporary shed for storage as he takes the time to look at the concession stand building for improvements.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item under rec, we have some requests from our rec director, and I know the rec committee has been working with her, and probably better versed in what she's requesting. So, someone like to report on that?
I'm going to let you take this because I'll be honest with you.
It's a pretty straightforward, I guess.
Okay.
So we had asked her to present to us, no later than this board meeting, the notices or the flyers that were going to be sent out to the school.
They've gone home a month ago, right?
No, this is for these are for future summer programs.
Right.
And so you all have in your packets the two flyers. One is for a combination of girls' soccer camp, July 1st through the 3rd, boys' lacrosse, June 28th through July, or June 28th, July 1 and 2, and then there's a
tennis, July 8th through the 10th, and volleyball, June 27th through the 28th. So she's anxious to have board approval, so these can be printed. I think she has maybe a tentative standing agreement that maybe somebody from your office can do that. Lisa had on the list. We just need to get it delivered to the school. So we need approval. If all the board members are okay with it, it seems fairly straightforward. It's the same programs that we've run in the past, the same structure. We have budgeted expected revenues with expenses in the budget, and she, as noted in her letter, she's following the guidelines we established, such as if we don't have enough registered participants for any one of the camps for us to break even, then we wouldn't do
that. Sure.
And where we have coaches lined up for these, the coaches know that they cannot or will not be able to be paid the full 300 if we don't have enough revenue in the program. Yeah. So the guidelines we established in the budget process. Yeah. The second one is the flag football registration form. It's the same format. This one's not quite as pressing, but we want to get it out. We need approval to have her let those go. Second.
Any additional discussion? Oh, that's a great news for me.
Good. There's nothing, the only additional discussion, I think, is that we should establish a date next year that's a little earlier than right now.
Yes.
Because this is giving some families limited time to make plans, or they're already planning their summer events. But
yeah, that's a good point.
We didn't have it for the last meeting and pulled it in for this meeting.
I would say mid-April or May 1st, the latest, the most for next year. We want to make sure people are making their summer vacation plans. But for now, this is good.
All right, roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And I just want to give a shout out to our newly hired part-time special projects aide who worked on, after we received the flyers, worked on them and did a great job getting them in the form that you see this evening. So thank you to Emily on that.
Yes.
Open, sir.
No. Yes, thank you, family, for that. Sarasota County can reach out to us again. They run a program every year called SYEP, Summer Youth Employment Program. You all have copies of it in your folders. We don't necessarily need an answer on it tonight, but the one thing we don't have planned is any arts and crafts camps for this coming summer. We could not find anybody to run them. And that's been a struggle the last few years. But Sandy's thought was the free help would benefit giving experience to some of these summer youth individuals looking for a place to work. That might be a way if you wanted to consider pursuing that. Again, the program is fairly straightforward. The purpose of the program is to provide summer work experience and training for qualified youth to help them develop skills. And we simply have to ask for them, and if they're available, we'll be coordinating something like that. She'd be happy to pursue it if we want her to explore it through the provided help. Otherwise, we won't be able to do any arts and crafts. We don't have anybody on the campus right now.
Will she be, I thought in the letter they said they need someone to supervise them?
She would have to be.
Personally,
yeah.
I think she'd be able to.
I think we can act on that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're in motion. Do you need a motion on that? I mean, we need her to see if she can pull it together under the pretense that she would be with the people. Present a motion on authorizing our rec director to work with Sarasota County Department of Employment Training to see if there are available use available to the SYEP program. And so then to structure up a arts and crafts and see if we can get enough attendance.
Does it have to be limited to arts and crafts?
Doesn't. It was her suggestion. If someone else has a different suggestion.
Well, I'm looking at this and what the write-up was from Catherine Raymond. I'm also thinking that they might be able to utilize people with other projects down the rec.
Yes.
And I'm getting a nod here.
Yeah, so, good point. So maybe the motion should be to authorize Dave and Sandy. Well, I don't have to track the last motion.
It's a good one.
Present the following motion.
Wasn't seconded.
Wasn't seconded? Why don't I present this motion? Why don't we authorize Sandy to work with Dave to collaborate on discussing how we can take advantage of the use available through the program and work with the county to see if they're available. And then report back to the board. Give them authorization to do that.
I would second that.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Quick question. One more. David, do you have a copy of the program?
I do not.
No, we'll get one to you. I had another item. Just the beach we normally open on the 26th full time. Sam is just looking to see if that's the same date we want to run with this year.
The second school, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always a public.
And so each year we usually tell her that that's the date. So if we're all okay with that, then we'll tell her that she can go ahead and move to full time at that point. She is looking for, in regards to the beach, she is looking for a little bit more guidance or directive on how we want to wrap some structure around closing the beach on the days that it's a washout. And that last year presented a problem because we didn't really have the right structure for her. The thought was that if we came up with a list of activities that they could do, we have to pay them when we call them in already. We have to pay them for a minimum of 2 or 4 hours. We can clarify that, but if nobody's there, we don't necessarily need to be closing the beach. I'm reluctant to not have a little authority around who makes the decision. So,
yeah, I'm totally in support. I mean, typically these are college kids that have signed on to summer jobs with the intent of working full time through the entire summer, and you know, through no fault of their own, I don't think that we should be sending them home. You know, have them call off. They're basically not letting them work. So I think last year, if they weren't working at the beach, then we send them on the rent to work. For me, if you needed them.
We had some come down to the rent on the heavy tournament weekends to help us. But
not when they...
But not when it was raining or they shut the beach down. But if they want to shut the beach down on those days and send them to the rent, I would help.
Yeah, so what I'd like to see, thank you, Dave, for that, is maybe Dave takes a look at the beach property and comes up with a punch list of things that, in the event that the note was really there, work on these things. At least we have some direction. I think they've already painted the building. No, they didn't this year because it was
raining. They couldn't move the thing. No, it needs to be taken care of.
And then also, if there's nothing left there at the beach for them to do, then certainly send them up to rent.
Yeah, I think we can find stuff for them to do. If that's what the question is, you know, should we keep them?
I would be in favor of offering them an opportunity to continue to make money for the summer.
If they don't want to come in, that's fine too, but I'm not going to tell them to have to. So that would be my suggestion.
I would go along with that.
Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. All right, good. I'll give her that directive in an email and copy the board.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Anything else?
On rec, I do not have anything else. I reported last week, or last board meeting on the ballot, so good shape.
Yeah, no, good job on that.
Dave's got it from here. We're in good shape.
Anything else on the rec?
Thank you for all the tools you've done for that.
Just want to add a couple comments. Saw Dave this weekend for the New York State Public High School Association regional softball games. All the staff from the state side said our park staff is also second to none. The facilities look great. They worked extremely hard. They loved the bleachers. And next year we have to budget for new bases down there. So, but everybody is pretty pleased with the facilities. We've got the state tournament coming up
this weekend
mm-hmm. starting with opening ceremonies, I think, at the high school, and then the games are all day Saturday at RAC Quads. And one of the local teams is the Boston Spa Girls, so certainly some local support that we'll be giving down there. But these guys are going to be working real hard, and plan on stopping down with some squatters and gathering for you guys, because you're going to need it.
On that point, we have some potential rain this weekend, and I know that the other entities are working very collaboratively with us to each Sunday as a day for states to roll into and give up the spaces they have if we need it. It's been good cooperation from all groups. Good stuff.
Good.
Dave's got them all under control. You got them all under control down there, Dave.
You got them under control.
Anything else from the rest? If not, we will move on to 12 on the agenda, the transfer station. And I believe Council Member LeClaire had asked Ted to look into cost for power auction down there. And we received, or actually I should say, Ted secured 3 quotes. Power wash inside the compactor building. First is from Hogwash. Cleaning Solutions at $500. The second is from Performance Industries at $1,300. And All Pro Restoration Services is the third quote at $1,175.76. His recommendation is to go with Hogwash Cleaning at $500. This money would come from account PS8160.4. which has a current balance of $39,622.95 as of May 31st.
Motion to approve, but the work can't start until Ted had the information on the cost for them to do the work and close in the ceiling, because it doesn't do any good to clean it and not be ready to.
No.
Take care of it.
There's a quote here from
Curtis
Lumber.
So he did reach out at your request. He knew that was part of the cost. And so he has cost materials from Curtis Lumber for some materials that amount of $402.41. So, if you want to include it as part of the motion, authorize him to go through that.
I think so, because we have to be ready when it's cleaned, or the birds are going to be back up in there. If we take 3 weeks, it's going to be pretty nasty again. So, make a motion to approve Hot Wash Cleaning Solutions to spray down and sanitize the inside of the contractor building. And also to approve $402.41 for supplies for staff to close in the ceiling so the birds can't get back up in there. See Curtis that we're buying up those supplies from Curtis Lumber. So the total on the motion is $902.41 to open the house.
Is there a second?
Second.
Could we get a copy of the insurance for Hot Wash? Why don't you amend the motion subject to receiving the certificate of liability?
So we also need to receive the certificate of liability before Hot Wash can begin. Thank you.
You got that, Ian?
Yep.
And we have a second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda at this time is privilege of the floor. If anybody would like to address the board, please state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes to discuss Any business germane to the town?
Good evening. Reed Andrews, Paris Road. Just three brief comments. I'm hoping that when I brought up the attention a couple months ago about 61 Hudson Street, I'm hoping that we didn't, keeping the insurance value of $357,000, hopefully we reduce that because the building isn't worth $367,000. I was hoping when the supervisor gives his report back to us, that he could explain what the rec leader's position is going to be at the recreation department, the amount of hours and the responsibilities. That's a new, a new title in the town. I'm curious to know what that means. And third off, the last of the comment, we're all glad that Sarah Tregoyle has come to Moreau and will be purchasing the building on Route 9. Unfortunately, they will be using sewer. So I just want to encourage the board to find ways to turn these properties in the sewer district into sewer-using properties, and not just purchasing the properties, because the whole idea of the sewer is to be used, and hopefully that's the exciting part. Other than that, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Probably don't want me to read the, all the duties, but I have them here. You know what? The posting is online, I
believe. Is it full-time or part-time?
Okay, so it's a full-time position. It'll be salaried. You're asking the hours because it's salaried. It will be to complete the work as necessary or along with things.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you. Response.
The comment on the new owner of the property on Route 9, I'm exceptionally thrilled that we have a business that came in and paid more money from what the property was sold in previous years. They will be paying for sewer. They may not be using it, but they'll be paying for debt service on that, which is actually probably the most costly part of cost of sewer. So they will be helpful to all users in the district, that sort of thing. I can look into the insurance on 61 Hudson. You could build a nice building, but burnt down $300,000.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Just
anyone else like to address the board? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Don McDonald, Cedar Lane. The last time I was at the meeting, I made the suggestion about contacting National Grid to see if down the line, when the sewer lines are going in, that the mishmash of overhead power lines could be buried. In the meantime, I spoke with an official at the Syracuse office, and he told me that any request like that must come from the town official, and that they start with the local office. I don't know if it's Glens Falls or Saratoga, wherever the nearest office is. That's how they get started on that. He didn't know anything about grant money or if National Grid would just pay for it, but who knows, maybe luck out, and instead of sending a maintenance crew out to do overhead lines, they'll just have a maintenance crew bury the lines as the sewer goes in. So who knows? It's just something that should get started to take a look at. The other thing on the zoning ordinance, I was glad to see that there's work being done on that. But for fear of people saying I'm comparing apples to oranges, I do have to go back to my earlier suggestion, request, whatever you want to call it, but you're going to need a beefed up building inspection department. as you know, I've been through this with you because of the earlier report. Again, at least two full-timers, if not more. If you're going to have a zoning ordinance, if you're going to spend all these years beefing it up, changing it in the near future, they go hand in hand. No offense to the part-time building inspector you have, but he's got to be inundated with work. As I drive around town, I see all the new housing developments coming in, single-family homes, all that. Just going there frequently for the staged inspections for each house, that's got to be a full-time job. So I really urge the board to get two full-time inspectors that have no connections to the town, no political affiliations, preferably no friends and all that, because I have to tell you, through my driving through town, it's getting worse. I can stand in the building inspector's office and fill out a long sheet of official complaints, but it's just, for instance, right under your main drag, for years, there's a Fryhopper's trailer sitting there, just on the other side of the curb. And I know it's been there for years. I don't even know which property belongs to. There's a little apartment structure, and then there's something next to it. So, there's that. There's the burned-out house on Reservoir Road. Now, I know that more folks that got burned out, I understand they didn't have insurance. But the building, it's been at least 2 years. The building is still sitting there. I just drove by it the other day. In fact, as I turned down Reservoir Road, I noticed to the left, somebody has cleared all that land, took all the vegetation down, all the trees. There's been nothing public notice as to whether that, what's going to be done with it, if that was legal. As you probably saw in the paper the other day, they did that before Denver. The town officials didn't even know that the property owner cleared the land behind his business. So my 3 minutes is probably close, but just a note on the Universal Playground. I hope that you advertise for people to volunteer to come down and work. I'm willing to come down some of the skill. But if you could cut the price down by having a lot of volunteers come down and work on that. But in tandem with that, the three companies that you have interviewed, I would hope that you did extensive background checks on them for legal purposes, including if they've ever had lawsuits filed against them in the past, if there are any current lawsuits, what their standing with chambers of commerce might be, or the Better Business Bureau, things like that. Just interviewing, because as you know, it's puffery. They're going to tell you all their great things, but you have to go underneath to see the things that are going on, just to make sure that you don't get caught behind again. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I have to say I completely agree with your comments regarding overhauling town zoning and code and all that. It's a waste of time, a waste of money if we're going to do that update, and we're not going to do any enforcing on it. So we'll be looking at that at budget time, we begin that process, I believe, end of August. We start getting our requests from department heads, and that process goes up and through November. So that's something we'll be looking at. So would anybody else like to address it? If not, we will move on to supervisor items. I do have a couple things I want to point out. I have to give a shout out to our highway superintendent, Paul Joseph, and his highway crew. They did a fabulous job putting the finished coat on at the entrance to municipal complex out here on 197. So thank you for doing that. It was a good job, and hope you pass that on to your employees. The EV chargers that the town board approved will be installed next week here at town hall and over at the rec. One stand each, which can charge two vehicles at the same time at each location. I did receive correspondence from one of my colleagues, board supervisors, who was from City of Saratoga, and they pointed out that they do color coding for their hydrants in the City of Saratoga. So anyone who says that it doesn't work or it's not cost effective, I just want to point out who the local municipality is doing it, seems to work for me. I myself, and Kyle met with a group of residents in off of Quaker Manor, basically, that continued to face issues regarding the high water table down there. We met for about 30 minutes or so with at least a dozen or more residents, and I was able to offer to them that we found a state DOT right-of-way, drainage right-of-way on the south side of 197, which we secured from the county, and I brought it to DOT's attention, and they were not aware that they had a right-of-way. So fast forward today, you may have seen the DOT crew out there working. They're taking survey shots. They're actually chipping some of the wooded area that they're going to be working in. They anticipate, maybe as early as this week, certainly by next week, to bring in an excavator, and they will be doing drainage, which, as they said to me, I must be pretty powerful because I'm going to make water run uphill. And I said, there's only one guy that can do that, and it's not me. And they are going to ditch the ditch so that the water flows instead of south, goes, I'm sorry, instead of the east, going to go west, up to the DOT drainage area, and where it goes from there, I think it goes 540 feet in the woods. Hopefully it goes downhill after that 540 feet. So anyway, you know, it remains to be seen whether that will address all the issues that they're having in there, but you know, I've been working with DOT for several weeks now. It was first brought to my attention by the previous supervisor whom I met with, and then another board member. And I have been following up. I've met at least four times now with a resident engineer and some of his employees, and I was talking with them today. So they're aware of the situation. They want to be helpful, and we're very pleased that they're willing to be helpful. Unrelated matter, but still with DOT, I've received many complaints regarding the backup coming off of Northway, especially at the end of the workday. And historically, I found that when that backup has happened, the timing is off at the light at Spark Falls. So they came up and they reset the timing of that light. It seems to be better now. I'm sure that it won't be perfect. You know, we never had those issues until we put the light at Spark Falls on Route 9. But the people coming in that way wanted to be able to get out of Spark Falls, so they need a traffic light. So they're very accommodating. They said if we have more issues, we don't have to make a call. So I expect they'll have them on speed dial as we move forward. We had a request from a resident who's in the audience here this evening. I'm surprised they didn't comment on it regarding the exemption for disabilities from real property tax. The board member is. As late as today, has received all the information that we requested to review that, so the board will be reviewing that and making a determination whether we want to continue to move forward on that. So we'll keep you updated on that. The last item I have is Jesse just wants to talk briefly about the store fittings. There's been a lot of discussion on that, and Jesse was willing to review possible solutions to that issue so the fire company can tie into those hydrants that they don't have proper threat, pipe threat for. So we want to just...
It's kind of a two-fold thing. There's 11 hydrants that are on Bluebird Road from Fort Edward Road to the industrial park that were installed back in the mid-90s. And they were installed with these particular threads on the steamer caps, unknown to us, that will not take the regular fire hose, the regular or a regular shorts fitting, because the threads are different. They have something that's called a New York City thread. If that's what the thread is, then it seems like New York City would have a storage bidding that would fit it. We're looking into that. We had to send a cab out to be analyzed, and we took off one of them to find out exactly what kind of thread this is. Now, there's a couple of different options. We can either buy the storage fitting that will fit those threads at some time, because they'll make one for us if we have to. Mm-hmm. It'll run us about $250 a piece. Or we can take the nozzles out of these hydrants and replace the nozzles, which are they're going to run us between $275 and $300 a piece. Then we have to put the storage fitting on. Or they make a universal one that we can put in there at $530 each on those particular hydrants in order to solve that problem. Now, the fire company has said that there's other hydrants in our districts that don't have storage fittings, which is true. None of our hydrants had storage fittings until, I want to say it was District 6, they started putting them on full time. Each hydrant that was installed by a developer or during one of our water line installations came with the storage fitting on. So
that was good because we required that.
We required it. It became part of our standards. So what happened is a lot of the hydrants got changed when Mike was here. Before me, they changed a bunch of them. But there's still probably 100 hydrants out there that have the national standard thread on them that don't have the fittings. Those fittings are $220 each to put on in various districts. So it's up to the board how you want to approach this. I think the idea of the fire company is to have everything standardized so that not only do they have one hose that they start with to hook up with and everything, but any other firefighting unit that comes to our community in a case of mutual aid or something also can come in and hook up and know what it is that they're hooking up to when they come. So it's one of these things that we're trying to get a cost on it and see what we can afford and what we can't here, which direction we want to go.
So it's not a cheap fix.
There's probably 100 hydrants out there that would take a standard fitting at $225 to $250. So you're looking at probably $20,000 plus for that fix on just the hydrants that do have the national standard thread. Now's the time.
Right. And there's no question we as a board want to ensure the highest quality of public safety. And in this particular situation, it comes at a cost. So we have to balance the cost, with getting to that standard. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's not easy. And as you pointed out, I was on the board when we made that requirement as a council member.
Right.
We've been making that change over gradually. It's going to take a while to get there, but...
We also have gone to the extreme of, making sure that each one of these hydrants worked. There was a time when the fire company had an adaptive piece of equipment that would fit on these odd-sized hydrants. What happened to it, I don't know. I'm not involved in that, but there was something that was usable. But to look at their point, you get up and you take off to a fire, and it's like, well, where's the fire? Well, the fire's down on Bluebird Road. Well, what part of Bluebird Road's at? Well, and now you got to figure out what hose you got to start with when you get at that fire, what you need, because after that, everything hooks up and you go with it. But in the meantime, it becomes a matter of time, and if it's your home that's burning, believe me, you're going to want to see that water coming sooner than later. Mm-hmm. So it is something that I think we need to address as a town and kind of work together with them. As far as the other thing that they brought up to us about color coding hydrants, our hydrants, every one of them in this town, run between 60 and 70 pounds of pressure all the time. The complete town is looted. We got three towers that we're running off from. The only time you're going to run into an issue of low water pressure is, for instance, down in the Fenimore when the mill was on fire. You hit one hydrant in the Fenimore, that's what you're going to get because it's a dead end. That's all you're going to get out of that hydrant, period. And you're going to have to go back up to Bluebird or to Harrison Avenue where the next loop comes down before you can get more water It's something like that. So other than those dead-end areas like that, the end of Sisson Road, where Gina, as you get down there, you got one way the water's coming, and that's it. Once you hit that hydrant, that's all you're going to get out of it. So, you know, as far as if we had to color code anything, we could color code the ones on the dead ends that, you know, those are only going to have so much pressure, and that's it. But they're still going to have that 60 to 70 pounds of pressure all the time.
And I'm happy to have conversations with the fire company to address the issue. I'd even be willing to support buying the adapter for every single truck, but that's what it takes to immediately solve the issue. But you know, we've got to have this conversation.
No, I was just wondering. So, like, I know that this New York City threat is down in the industrial park,
right.
Correct? How many different hydrants are down there?
Five.
And that's the primary area that doesn't have the universal threat?
Right.
So
that's the only area that I'm aware of that has that odd threat.
So if we could get the Stork adapters for those five hydrants?
Yeah, there would be five of them in District 3, and then there's six more in District 4 that we need. We need 11 of those separate storage fittings made that would fit those hydrants.
Okay, and that, but everything else is pretty much a universal threat.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm just kind of understanding, and like, I'm wondering that we don't really need to outfit 100 hydrants with this Stork threat, even though that'd be ideal. What we need to do is make these others that are adaptable to the universal, so that they can easily
use them. If they don't know where that fitting is for their hoses to hook up down there, if there was anything major in that area, they can't hook a hose to those fitters. I think they can the 2.5-inch side, but not the 5-inch side.
But if we could get adapters for those hydrants down there, then they'd be able to hook into the universal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Received a notice from the Unemployment Insurance Department from the New York State Department of Labor that a former employee who left on her own volition to take another job has filed for unemployment, and the Labor Department is looking to make a charge against the town for payment, and we are officially protesting this. I suppose the board is in support of that.
And I wasn't aware of it.
I just got it.
Yep, okay.
But
I would concur.
The other item I had is that National Grid has a program for Arbor Day, during Arbor Day, where if we want to plant a low-growing tree under overhead electric lines, we would receive $50 per tree reimbursement contribution for planting the right tree in the right place. I have a form to fill out if that will contribute to like cooling of the building. They'll also pay for another tree. I don't know if anybody wants to take the ball and run with that.
Awesome.
And the last item I have, under supervisors' items, is I have a notice from New York State DOT regarding designation of restricted highway, which you're required to do under state transportation law. And here in the town of Moreau, it's all of the roads in the region, but here in the town of Moreau, the Butler Road Bridge over I-87, which is bridge identification number 1033430, beginning at the intersection of Butler Road, Potter Road, continuing east and ending at the intersection of Butler Road, Route 9, on northbound, southbound, 87. Extending the points 1 mile north and 1 mile south of BIN 103340. Will be designated a restricted highway until December 1, 2020. What that means is there may be established maximum and minimum speed limits along the restricted highway. They may restrict weight and dimensions of vehicles. They could restrict highway use by pedestrians, equestrians, and animals, parking and standing, stopping and backing vehicles, and control of persons and equipment engaged in work on such highway. So it's probably part of the reconstruction.
Okay.
Committee reports. Anybody have anything on the committee?
I'm struggling to find someone to do the repair on Hudson Street. I reached out to that music contractors. A couple of them said they can't do it. They're too busy. A couple of them didn't return my call. I had one person I spoke to maybe a week and a half ago, and he was going to drive by the phone and say he's familiar with the work that needed to be done. They look at it, get back, and they have to send a service to him. If I don't hear back from him soon, I will go over to Curtis Lumber and see if they have a couple of recommendations. I think we need to at least close that end of the building in.
Okay.
I haven't had much. Everybody's busy, which makes sense.
Yes. This time of the year, it's difficult to get anybody to come out.
The sexual harassment training that we need to do, I talked to Carla today. She sent me information on training that the firm does. We're going to work on it. I looked at Niner's site today, and it doesn't look like they yet have their training available, but Carl's going to help me get that all in place, so I'll be watching as that progresses.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
No, it's not necessarily a committee report, it's more to add, maybe I should have done earlier. A resident reached out to me, they did have to deal with Mr. Tri Miller building their code violation issue with a neighbor in town, and went out for pictures. Determined there were multiple violations going on, so this person was very pleased that something was getting done on something that they've been playing about for a while. So, positive news to pass along there.
Great, thank you. Which reminds me, was the final comment I was going to make a request or a comment from Mr. Tom. The property you're referring to that was cleared on Reservoir Road, my office and the building department received complaints from a neighbor on a regular basis. And by regular, I mean weekly, if not daily. Our building department, both Jim and Matt, have been down there to ensure that there's no code violations going on. And we revisit there on a regular basis. So with that, I'll need a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing a particular person, an unnamed person or persons, employment with the town of Monroe, and also to discuss a contract negotiation. Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Whenever you're ready.
Ready.
All right. Entertain a motion to come out of executive session and report that no action was taken in the executive session.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Thanks, everyone.